أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to this series of Living the Quran through the Living Quran. And today actually is our concluding episode of our review and analysis of chapter number 36, Surah Yasin. And in our today's discussion, we'll be looking at verses number 82 and 83. And obviously, if you've been following along in this series, you've been obviously gleaming much, hopefully, enlightenment and wisdom in the words of God in the way that Sheikh Mohsen Qaraati has explained in his Tafsir An-Nur. And as we have tried to bring forth in this series of videos to better understand a chapter of the Quran that we recite on a very frequent basis, perhaps more frequently than any other passage of the Quran, with the exception of Surah Al-Fatiha, chapter number 1 of the Quran. And obviously we've been going through so many different topics over the last series of videos. So I would definitely advise all of us, if we haven't had an opportunity to yet to go through the videos, to begin really anywhere, ideally at the beginning, but really any video that you look at, there will be hopefully a complete discussion of the particular verses that we would be, have been reviewing in that particular segment. But do avail yourselves of the opportunity to go back to the videos and to better acquaint yourself with this beautiful and very potent chapter of the Holy Quran. Before we go into the analysis of what God has in store for us today in these two concluding verses of this beautiful chapter, let us have a listen to the Arabic and the English translation, and then we'll come back and deliberate upon some of the points that Sheikh Mohsen Qaraati has mentioned in his Tafsir An-Nur. Allah says the following at the conclusion of Surah Yasin.
إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ
Verily, his command, when he intends to evolve a thing, is only that he says to it be, and it comes into being at proper time. Therefore, glory be to him in whose hand lies the perfect control of everything, and towards whom you shall all be made to return. One of the important points that is mentioned in the commentary is that this faith, this belief in the day of resurrection, and the fact that God can recreate us, that he can and he will bring us back to life on the day of resurrection, that this is something which has to be firm and accepted in the minds of every believer in God. And if there are ever any doubts, any misgivings, any thoughts that maybe this is not possible or practical, that this is improbable to happen, then obviously we need to do our best to to remove those confusions from our own mind. And if there are other people who have them, then we need to make sure that we have the ability to give them a correct response in terms of this day, because it's not just about believing in the day of judgment. Really, this has major implications for you and I in our day-to-day life today. Obviously, that is a lengthy discussion of how that is possible, and we'll keep it for another session perhaps. But suffice it to mention that belief in the day of resurrection can actually control us in this life, in this world, and would actually help us to keep away from many of the vices and the sins that that many people indulge in on a regular basis. As you'll recall from the previous discussions that we had, one of the final events that was mentioned in this chapter was when a polytheist came to the beloved Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and he had a decayed bone in his hand, a bone that belonged to maybe one of his forefathers or somebody, and he took this rotten bone and he threw it to the ground. And he told the Messenger of God that who can bring this dead bone back to life after it's in such a state of decay? There's nothing left of it, just dust is remaining of it. And the response obviously was given in that section that we reviewed. The point here being, however, is that God responded to this question with logic, with a intelligent response. And we see that this is something which is also reflected in the two verses that we're looking at today, that God says that His intention, when God wants to do something, all He has to say, proverbially, obviously, and we'll look at this in a bit more detail, all God has to say is be, and it is, and it will come into being. And so if the polytheists, or even Muslims of today, may doubt the resurrection, is this possible? Is it possible for God to physically resurrect a human being? Maybe their body is strewn across multiple continents. Maybe animals have eaten away at the remains of that human being. Maybe they take the remains and they blast them into outer space or into the depths of the ocean. Can God really find all of those fragments and segments and bring them back together? Well, this first verse that we're looking at tells us that yes, God can do anything He wants. All He has to say is be, and it will become. It will take place as His intention would desire. Actually, as Sheikh Mohsen Karati mentions based on another verse, that this fulfillment of the command and the divine will of God, that this does not require any specific time to take place in, nor any specific locality, any location, any place. And technically, as he says, that this can happen in the blink of an eye. And we refer to this particular verse of the Quran, where Allah says the following, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. God says, our command is at once carried out by only one word, as quickly as the twinkling of an eye. In actuality, as it's mentioned in the commentary, Allah, God, does not even have to say the word kun. Although the verse tells us that God just says kun fayakun, be and it is. But the commentator and obviously Muslim theologians are all agreed upon this fact that even God does not need to say the word be, kun. Because that would mean that God is limited, that He is in need of something, He's in need of speaking to do something, that He can't do it without speaking. And obviously far be it from the status of God to be required to even speak a word, utter a phrase to do something. And so therefore it's mentioned in the commentary that this word, or the meaning of the word kun, be, which we have translated and which is translated in this method, is really merely the intention or the order of God. And as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, has stated in a tradition, he says that God creates, but with no voice that can cry out. And He creates, but without a call that is heard. So God doesn't need to say, be and it is. God does not need to say that I created or I will to create all of this. His intention is sufficient enough, but sometimes He does this for you and I to understand. But again, as the commentary mentions, that kun, or be, simply refers to the intention of God, not the actual speech which God would need or be required to emanate for an action to transpire. What are some of the takeaway points that we can glean from this verse, or rather these two verses of today? And again, the conclusion of Surah Yasin. But obviously, and let me just mention this before I go to my concluding points, that although this is the conclusion of this commentary, however, obviously there is much more that has been said by commentators that is continuously being investigated and researched by our scholars. And I'm sure in the years to come, others will reflect on these same verses that we have been going over for these last sessions, and will come up with new discoveries and new understandings. But for our limits of our series, and basing this again on the commentary of Sheikh Mohsen Karati in his Tafsir An-Nur, we leave our viewers with the following few points of reflection. Point number one to keep in mind is the following, that in creating the world of existence, God is neither in need of a means nor help, nor can anyone prevent Him from doing anything that He wills to do. This is obviously a clear point. We always appreciate and understand that God is God because of the fact that He is God, that nobody shares in that authority, nobody can control Him, nobody can dictate to Him what to do, what not to do. He is a sovereign authority entity, and whatever He wants to happen will happen. Point number two, as a theological understanding, and again, these are points that we may need to reflect upon more and do more reading and investigation about, is the fact that there is no interruption between the intention of God, between the irada of Allah, and the actualization of the act. So God does not have to say, I want to do something, and then He makes the command, and then it happens, like you and I. Right? We have to go through those stages. I feel hungry, so I need to walk to the fridge. I need to walk to the kitchen to get some food to eat. God doesn't function in that way. His intention and the realization, the actualization of what He intended are basically one and the same. He doesn't have to utter a word or, you know, make that mental thought and process to actually do a particular action. He's not like you and I. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like God. And last but not least, and we conclude this video and this series with this last final concluding point, is that there is, that not only is the source of all things in His proverbial hands, but rather that everything will return back to Him. Everything returns back to God. Man and woman, black or white, Muslim or not, everything in creation will return back to God. Nobody's outside of this scope of return to God. As we conclude this series of Surah Yasin, we hope and pray that we have been able to benefit from the content of this beautiful chapter of the Quran. We pray that we are able to now recite it with further interest and vigor and zeal, because we hopefully have understood at least one level of the commentary of this verse. In conclusion, I do remind the viewers to subscribe to our channel if you have not yet subscribed. Do share these videos with your family, your friends, your community members on all the social media platforms you may be on. Do hit that notification bell so that you can be notified when we upload new videos in our upcoming series of the next chapter of the Quran that we want to review. And please do leave a comment if you have any questions or concerns or anything that comes to your mind about maybe chapter 36 that you are reading and you have some confusion about. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.